Hello and welcome to our the Peace Alliance Hope Story Circle. It's so lovely to see everyone always, each time we do this. And welcome to Peace On, your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. My name is Terry Mason. I'm on the board of the Peace Alliance, and I welcome you. I'm getting over a cold, forgive me. I'm also joined by Liz Gannon-Graydon, who is on our board, and Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools lead and mindfulness expert. And we're just so happy to see all of you today. Our special guest today is Rob Graydon. Yes, the name is the same. He is married to Liz Gannon-Graydon. They are a husband and wife. And it's just so fun to have you here today, Rob. I know you have a wonderful story to tell, but if you could unmute yourself, I just want to have you say good morning.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I'm very excited to be here and be part of this Hope Story Circle. And just so very, I can't wait to share my story.
Sounds great. I know that you're a filmmaker and you also have a background with puppets. Want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, of course. I, for the past 13 or 14 years, I've been working with a company called No Strings International, and they were founded by the original creators of the Muppets. And what they do is they create these really elaborate and wonderful puppet short films for specifically aimed for kids at-risk parts of the world. So, for example, when I first worked with them, they created a puppet short warning kids in Afghanistan about landmines, because thanks to us and the Russians, there are more landmines than there are people in Afghanistan. And from there, we went to all different parts of the world, natural disasters in Indonesia and earthquake trauma in Haiti and all just places all over the world, Madagascar, AIDS in Africa. And, it's not a job anyone's getting rich from. You know, they're all the people working on it are all the same puppeteers you see on Sesame Street and Dark Crystal and all these things. And but no one is particularly getting rich off it. But what they are doing is getting the satisfaction knowing that they're saving, kids' lives. So it's a really incredibly rewarding project to work on.
It sounds like it's really impressive. Thanks for sharing about that.
Oh, thank you.
So I think we should get started, and we're just going to start as we usually do with a meditation. And Yelena, will you lead us in a meditation this morning?
Sure, Terry. Welcome, Rob. Welcome, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are right now or listening to our podcast. I welcome you all, and I invite you into a moment of stillness, into a moment of just taking some time to notice the earth that is below you. Perhaps you can just feel it by touching the soles of your feet on the ground and connecting with the earth, connecting with the surface you are on, and perhaps just uplifting a little bit in your upper body to connect with a space above you. And bring awareness to this moment, this breath. Then this one. Fresh, new, alive. bringing awareness to your emotions that are presence of or absence of. Just noticing. Perhaps noticing thoughts as well. Or perhaps you just want to stay with sensations of breath or grounding. Welcoming your whole experience in. Yes, this too. It's all the pieces. And thanking yourself for taking a moment to pause. Check in and continue a practice of listening as we listen to Rob tell his story. Welcome, Rob. Thank you all for asking.
So, hello, everyone. I am Rob Graydon, and I want to start my story by telling you that the summer of 2006 was a time that really changed my life forever. I just at the time didn't know it. During the summer of 2006, I am a filmmaker, and I was asked to make a short film for a larger project down at the World Trade Center site. What I had discovered at the time was that Mahatma Gandhi had first used nonviolence on September 11th, and it ended up being September 11th of 1906, which means that September 11th of 2006 not only was the fifth anniversary of the Trade Center attack, it was the 100th anniversary to the day that Gandhi had first used nonviolence. And I not believing in coincidence, I figured there's got to be something to look into that. And so I started making a short film about 100 years of nonviolence. And I didn't know where to start, but I knew I wanted to somehow interview Arun Gandhi, which is Mahatma Gandhi's grandson, who is still alive today. And I went through some detective work and I found his email, and I emailed him and I asked him if I could interview him. He said, sure, why don't you just come to my house? And I'm thinking that I had to fly to India or someplace like that. Turns out he lives in Rochester, New York, upstate. And so I drove 6 hours and to a hotel, that in the motel the night before. And in the early in the morning, I went and I interviewed him, and he was there with his wife, and he had a very modest home, not a lot of furniture and things like that. But one of the things I do remember is that he had a Roomba, which I thought was hilarious because it just seemed odd for someone like Mahatma Gandhi to have a Roomba. But it did help because I made him laugh that day because I said, my wife, I've been trying to get my wife to have a Roomba, and she said no. But I said, well, if the grandson of Gandhi has it, then maybe I can get a Roomba for myself. Turns out the answer was no. She never still didn't buy it. But I interviewed him, and he was incredibly gracious with his time, but he didn't have a lot of it. You know, he had to go to a speaking engagement right after. So as soon as we were done, I had to pack up all my equipment and get in the car and pretty much leave. And as I was packing my equipment, I put it all in the car and I was done. I said, you know what, let me just run back in very quickly to shake his hand and say, thank you so much for your time. And as I did that, and I was shaking his hand and thanking him, I just happened to look over his shoulder on one of his walls. And there was on his wall a painting, or more specifically, it was a part of a painting. It was a painting about that wide and about 6 feet tall. And I just happened to ask him, what's that painting? And he said, about a few years ago, an artist from Austria had come to my house, showed up at my door unannounced, and not speaking any English, he brought a translator with him, and he gave me this poster, he gave me this piece of picture, and I'm holding it for my grandfather. And I said, well, what is it about? He said the painting was actually a larger mural that he painted. And he said that it depicted world peace and a map to world peace. And what he did was he cut the painting then up into 6 pieces and sent it to different people throughout the world. And he said, I am holding this on behalf of my grandfather. And he said the idea of it was that on the day that there's world peace, all the paintings, pieces of painting would come back together again and form an entire piece. And that blew me away. I was completely blown away by that concept. But I couldn't talk to him anymore about it. I had to get my car and I had to go home. And so that concept had sat with me for many, many years. I just didn't know what to do with it until one day I was having dinner with a friend of mine who was a producer. And I just happened to tell him the story. And he looked at me and he said, why aren't you making a film about this? And I stared at him, and I'm not joking, it had to have been 30 full seconds. And I just said, I don't know. And that afternoon I ran home and I looked up Arun Gandhi's email again. And I went to him and I said, I'd love to talk to you more about this. I wrote to him and I said, I'd love to hear more about this painting because it's been sitting with me for many, many years. And I hope you even remember me. This is a few years before, about 4 years before. And I kept saying, I hope that you remember me. And if you can, get back to me. And I didn't hear from him for a few weeks. And I thought to myself, well, I put it out in the world. And if it didn't come back to me, that's perfectly fine. But one day I did hear from him and he said, I apologize for the lateness of my email. I'm in South Africa and internet is so bad that I have to really sort of prioritize emails that come in and out. He said, of course I remember you. And here's why. When I had interviewed him, he explained the day of September 11th of 1906. There is a name for it and the name is called Satyagraha. And it was probably one of the first, it's not a real word, it's one of the first marketing words I think ever created. It's built from two words, satya, meaning truth, and agraha, meaning pursuit of, because Gandhi always felt that world peace was part of the world peace, the pursuit of truth. And when I filmed that, I actually cut a little 2-minute piece of video that I just threw up on YouTube of him explaining what that was, and I had forgotten all about it. So when he said he remembered me, it was because he had been using that video on all of his tours. And I was like, really? And I just happened to then go to YouTube and I realized there were 18,000 views on that little video that I put up and forgot about. And so he said, I would love for you to come back and talk to me about this painting. I don't know a lot about it, but I can tell you as much as I can. And so I packed up my equipment. I brought my two sons who were then old enough to work on movie sets and help with lighting and help with sound. I had a friend of mine who was a cinematographer who came with me. My producer, Monica, came with me and my wife came with me just because we all wanted to meet Arun Gandhi as well. And so he drove up there and he started telling me about the story and he didn't know that much because he said, like he said, the person didn't speak much English. He just wanted him to hold on to this painting on behalf of his grandfather. He said he knew that there was one piece in the Vatican. He knew there was another piece that the Archbishop of Canterbury in England was holding on to. He knew he felt that there was one in the White House, and there was another one in Israel somewhere. That's all he knew. So I asked him if we could take some high resolution photographs of the painting. And we did. We took a bunch of high resolution photographs of the painting. And just as a fluke, because there's no name anywhere on the painting as to who the artist even is. So just as a fluke, I took my phone and went underneath the painting and took a picture of it. Very lucky that I did, because on the underside of it was a name, and the name was Franz Trink, T-R-A-N-K. And when I did that, I said, oh, I wonder if this is the artist's name. And so immediately I went on my phone and typed in those words and into Google. And the first image that came up was the entire painting. And I went, whoa. And so I went to that painting, and went to his website, which was completely in German. And so we had to Bing translate the website into English. And we found out exactly, you know, what the painting was about and what he did with it. And so I reached out to him, and he got back to me, and he said, thank you so much for your interest in this painting. I would love to talk to you more about it. And so after that, I set up a Zoom meeting, or I should say a Skype meeting back then, with him. And I had to hire a translator to speak on for both of us. And oddly enough, this gentleman and I became good friends. And I told him, I said, look, I need to make a film about this. You know, I think the world should know what it is you're doing. And he said, it's interesting that you are approaching me now, because right now I'm in the middle of trying to secure a piece of holy ground in Israel, because my goal is to put the painting back together. And I said, that's very interesting, because my goal is to find those pieces and come and figure out a way to put them back together. And the reason why he created the painting initially was not so much that it would be some easy thing to put back together. And thanks to my wife, who had figured that out, because once we realized who had all the pieces, you know, like I said, one's in the Vatican, one's with the Archbishop of Canterbury. One is with the family of, in the Middle East, with the family of Yasser Arafat. And one is with Rabbi Rosen in Israel. So my wife, being the daughter of a history professor, realized that these people are all at odds with each other historically. So and like I said, one was in the White House and one was in Russia. So to get these pieces together wouldn't be an easy task. And so the symbol of what he wanted was to get these, when these pieces came together, it was a symbol that if we could make that effort and put these people together in one place and bring this painting together, that would be the symbol of what it was all about. And I was just so fascinated by that. And we just started working together, trying to figure out the way to get this painting together. A couple of years later, he flew to New York to meet with me. And we met in a hotel and we filmed it. I got a friend of mine who's a cinematographer, and we put a small crew together, and my wife came with us. And I'm sure many of you know who Dot Maver is. Dot has been a wonderful consultant and just spiritual figure for me in my life. And she was been a huge supporter of the film as well. So I had her there. We got together and we really started talking about this film. And the things that I learned about him was that how the painting came to be was, one day he was in his bedroom. He was actually, in 2002, he was dying. He had some kind of neurological problem, and he was dying from it. He couldn't walk anymore. And one day he was in his bedroom, and the one thing he always wanted to do was go to church, because he only lived several hundred yards away from a church, and he wanted to walk there, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't get out of bed, and it was bothering him that he couldn't get to church and worship. And one morning, the sun came through his window and projected a shadow on a wall, And he said the shadow looked like a priest baptizing a young boy. And he just started sketching that over and over again, sketching this priest baptizing a young boy over and over and over. And he started to realize the more he sketched it, the better he started feeling. And he just sketched it over, over, over. And till one day he sketched it enough that he felt well enough to at the very least limp over to church so that he can be inside there and worship. And he did that. He got up, he got on his crutches and he went to church. And when he opened the door to the church that morning, the first thing he saw was a priest bent over a young boy, baptizing him exactly how he had been sketching it over and over and over again. And he realized that's when he had to create this painting. And if you look at the painting, it is a priest in the center, which he then replaced with Pope John II baptizing a young boy. And the painting then works its way out from that center. The painting is done in three levels. And on the bottom of the level are all the world's ills. And this is according to Arun Gandhi, are all the world's ills. So there's famine and disease and 9/11 and all these things that were at the time were the ills of the world. The centerpiece of the painting were all the politicians, the people who had the ability to change things. Whether they did or not was, you know, not really a judgment on his part. The top part were all the people who were saints and what he considered saintly. And so there up there was Gandhi and Anne Frank and Mother Teresa and Padre Pio and a few other people. And he said that basically was the map to what world peace was. And the reason why I brought that up will come up shortly for a very specific reason. When he was in New York, my wife does this tea party in Bryant Park every Thursday. And he decided to join it while he was in New York. And while he was in New York and in Bryant Park, he said, I want to take a picture of you and your wife. Would that be okay? And I said, sure. And he took a picture of me and my wife, and we didn't think much about it. We just figured it was vacation photos or what have you. Not realizing that he sent me a photograph of a brand new mural painting that he's painting, which is sort of a sequel painting to that. And in the top, he said, I want you to see if you could notice something. And in the top of the painting where the saints were Liz and myself. And that's when I realized that I had a mission in life. I was given this opportunity. I was given a mission to let this person speak through me with his painting in film on a larger scale than what he was doing. And it was a huge responsibility for me but at the same time, an incredible, incredible gift to do. And so that became my life's work, is to make this film. And I decided that I was not going to make a film for all of you folks here because you believe that world peace is actually possible. I wanted to make it for people who aren't trained in peace building or don't know anything about peace building and don't believe that it is possible. Or think that it's a pipe dream of some kind, because Dot Maver and I had many discussions about this, and we always agreed that peace has very poor branding. You know, your average person who isn't trained in peace building, when they hear the word peace, they think of either hippies or someone hugging a tree or a peace symbol on a shirt from Hot Topic. And they don't understand that the deep tissue work that goes into peace building that happens every day around the world. And the very reason why so many more acts of violence and so many more wars don't break out is because there are people who are actually preventing that. peacefully and nonviolently every day. And that's what I'm going to be showcasing. I'm going to be taking each piece of this painting and going to find it, that piece of painting throughout the world. And as we do that, along the way, we're going to be meeting these people. People like Dot Maver, people like a gentleman by the name of Kai Brand Jacobson, who lives in Romania, who does incredible piecework. I mean, he's that guy that if there's a problem with a junta or something in South America, they call him, they fly him in, and he goes in and he negotiates with them, you know, to stop violence. And that's his job. And he literally does this, you know, and he's been working on this for years and years and years. You know, there are people out there who work on these things with great detail. And again, we hear a lot of things when we watch, you know, peace documentaries. The thing they, you know, you always hear, well, if we, you know, if we educate our children and we love one each other and we have empathy, that would be the path to world peace. And that essentially is true, but there are so many more details that get left out. It's exactly like if you went to a general, a four-star general, and you said, how do you start a war? He wouldn't say, well, we get angry and start shooting people. He has a very detailed map as to what goes on. And there are people who do that every day who have, for peace building, who have the same map. It's just the opposite. It's just, you know, how do we stop that war? And so that's what I'm going to be showcasing. And because I want to create this knowledge of peace and a knowledge of what love means, again, because so many people just have that sort of hallmark definition of what love is. Not what justice and love, the connection of those two things are. And so, and that's it. You know, I really feel as though that's my goal in life now. And it's become my complete life at this point in time to make this film and to make people understand that peace is possible. And so that when this comes out, I my message to it is, you know, you've seen it, you know, it's true, and now you can't unsee it. And so you have the choice is up to you whether or not you want to do something. Mm. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. That was beautiful. I think we're going to frame an inquiry around that. And Yelena, do you want to frame the inquiry for us?
Sure, Terry. Last night when we all talked, just this part of, I have heard these pieces of Rob's story, you know, from Liz and and this piece was really special to hear from Rob. And, you know, they are these true strategies for peace, right? And what is our responsibility in it? You know, what is the rebranding we as peace builders need to do? What is the way we are sharing that picture of peace? So maybe that's the inquiry, right? What is our responsibility here? And how do we share this picture of peace? What is the rebranding we need to do? Terry, that's kind of the inquiry.
All right. We're going to go into breakout rooms. So I'm going to pause the recording. And when we come back, we'll start it again and see what happens. Welcome back, everyone. So nice to see you. Well, who would like to share something that came up in the breakout rooms that you'd like to share with the group? What's alive for you right now? Lois, go ahead, unmute yourself.
Hi, thank you. Well, it was such rich topics of inquiry today that we ran out of time. I wish we'd had, you know, a little more time, but basically I think that what we were saying is that there's, you know, there's different ways, there's like a different scale. I mean, there's the personal and what each individual can do, like little bits in their own life. And then there's the larger to reach more globally. And that because different people learn and listen in different ways, that different voices and different methods of speaking to, for, about peace are all those voices are needed, you know, and also the whole, if we look at the whole, you know, economics of strife and conflict, and it was Dwight Eisenhower who said, you know, beware the military industrial complex, and he ought to know that how do we get, it seems that part of that, the solution has to be to get peace to be as economically inviting. And when we talk about, you know, getting people to listen or become more peaceful or however, how to rebrand it, I think the challenge is how to make peace as fun, sexy, and appealing as conflict is, you know? I mean, we got cowboy, you know, movies, we've got all kinds of action movies, sci-fi is, seems to involve around conflict, but how do we make peace then as readily available and appealing to people?
Mm. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would like to share? You can unmute yourself and share. Bonnie Lee, you're raising your hand. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Thank you. I actually was in the same group, and one of our people mentioned how individuals seem to have a different definition for the word peace. And what I didn't get a chance to share with her, so I want to share it with everyone, is there is a peace encyclopedia that has been created by a professor in England, United Kingdom, of his 50 years of peace education. And basically it's his files. I've talked with him. And when I showed, I do have a copy of it, it's volumes. And when I showed it to one young individual, she immediately went straight to P, looked under peace, and found it isn't in the encyclopedia. In other words, with all of his peace encyclopedia and all of the things that he has in it having to do with peace, he doesn't try to define the word peace.
Curious. Interesting. Who else would like to share? You can unmute yourself and share, Kate.
I'll jump in. My internet connection is spotty this morning, so I'll try to be quick and brief. I am going to have to go back and get the podcast just so I can soak up every minute of genius of Rob. What was coming up for me this morning with my group, who was brilliant, was I was highlighting this right now with a lot of my work is very granular. I'm working individually in myself with my peace work, but I'm also working with individuals out in the world, specifically through the lens of soft skill development, right? And I've mentioned this in the group before. What's interesting and fascinating to me was we had another member in the group who I'll keep confident, but who was brilliant, whose focus right now is on the larger growth and development. I hope they speak to this, the larger growth and development, because on the granular level, the difficulty of just focusing on granular was presenting challenges. So they were realizing they actually needed to expand to a much bigger picture horizon. And what I found fascinating in our conversation was I felt like that really encapsulated what peace work is, that it is this balance. It is this give and take between we personally in ourselves peace work, what we're doing individually with others in our peace work, but then also keeping the awareness of the impact it has on the larger picture and that dance between the two. So I want to just throw that out there.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
Who else would like to share?
Can I just say quickly how I know Kate is because she also worked on a few of those puppet productions, the international puppet productions. So that's how I came to know and love Kate. I just wanted to say that.
Nice. Connections are always fun. Who else would like to share?
Contribute something?
Yes, please.
I'm Kid Lut. I'm from the Philippines.
Welcome.
Across the Pacific Ocean. our group got into a conversation and it started with a lady who was a member of a September 11 families group and working a piece from that angle. And I was quite touched by her very real experience angle of losing somebody there as a motivation. I'm an artist like Rob, and I'm interested in the cultural issues that may contribute to peace or unpeace within ourselves, but which of course reflects finally in the community or in the national scale or even global scale. And for me, maybe it comes from our colonial history. I'm interested in how maybe my own lack of peace may have come from centuries of colonization. Yeah. There's a Filipino writer, I mentioned this in our group, who said, we Filipinos have lived 3 centuries in the convent and 50 years in Hollywood. That means that we had 3 centuries under the Spanish, followed by half a century of Americans. Now, maybe that creates a kind of a cultural mishmash, but I'm more interested in what did it do to our own indigenous values. And I mentioned this to our group. We have a Filipino indigenous value called kapwa. K-A-P-W-A, and it's a tendency from our pre-colonial days for the self to include the other. It's a reciprocal compassion that is built in. Maybe the best way is to make it a comparative paradigm to what industrial societies breed in people. All the competition makes us separate from the other, from the self. I mean, we have to think about, okay, let's embrace and let us be peaceful and let us overcome our suspicions. And this is what industrial society has done. It has pitted one against the other. And because of this, it becomes a state of, hey, you're my friend, I'm your friend, but I'm after your job and you're after my job. Oh. And this breaks away from that old kapwa feeling, which is, I see in you the God who is in me, I also see in you. So we are one. Now, how does this rupture from 4 centuries of colonization, plus somebody mentioned Hollywood movies and all the violence it carries, but just from a cultural disruption, how do we get back to a little bit of that including society, which I think is very basic to achieving peace? So I'm working on that on my own. I happen to be a filmmaker. I mean, from 1977, I'm mainly an all-around artist now. I don't know if Bob Rob has probably seen a film called The Perfumed Nightmare, 1977, 40 years ago. You might check that out. But it does work with cultural conflicts within who have been colonized, but without, I'm not talking like with a clenched fist hating the colonizers, but I'm saying, hey, how can this continue in me unless I understand why this cleavage of colonial values versus our old indigenous values, how can I get this back together? This is my entry point. So I'm also interested in Rob's whole cosmic process of piecing together pieces of canvas around the world. I think that's a very fascinating thing. Anyway, that's my little thoughts
Thank
tonight.
Thank you so much, Kidlat. I really appreciate your sharing. It's very deep. All of what you brought up is not a simple comment. It's an important subject, important topic that I think we might want to explore more deeply another time. But we're running out of time today. So just for now, I'm going to put a lot of links in the chat. The Peace Alliance, our mission is to empower civic action for a culture of peace. And our website is there. Also the link to our podcasts, all of the Hope Story Circles, our podcasts, in addition to our national monthly calls and some other things. We also have an initiative to condemn election violence. It's probably not as critical at this time, but if you are in favor of it, you may sign it. The Blueprint for Peace is important at this time, or for people in America. These petitions go to our elected officials. With the new Congress, they'll go to your new members of Congress to support policy around our five cornerstones of peace building. And also, we are a nonprofit. We welcome donations of any size. And on the calendar of events, our national monthly calls, our monthly Department of Peacebuilding calls, our Hope Story Circles, all can be found at the calendar of events on our website. So please come to the website, check us out, get engaged, come back to the Hope Story Circles and do more if you choose to. Rob, do you have any final statements before Liz closes us out?
I don't have a final statement, but what I would love to show you, can I quickly share a screen?
Sure.
I want to show you. This is the painting. So I just want to let you guys see what that looked like.
Nice. And
if you see here where the Pope is, that's what started it. You know, he'd reconverted it to a the Pope blessing a young boy, a young African boy, but it was the position that he's in, it was a priest baptizing a young boy. This piece with this woman here, that's the piece that Arun Gandhi has. Oddly enough, he doesn't have the Gandhi one, which I don't understand why, but he has this piece with the woman over here. So wow. I just wanted to show you that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I'm really thankful to Rob. I always thank our guests. I'm thankful to Terry and Yelena. I'm thankful not only that he shared his time, but that I get to spend my life with this beautiful person. And I think what I want to leave you guys with, I'm aware of our time, is when he did the second drawing, it was because, as Rob said, he spent his day in the park with this very small, beloved community that we created. And he did exactly what I think Lois mentioned. He shifted his scale. He said his original vision was, in order to create peace, you have to be Gandhi, you have to be Mother Teresa, you have to be this very large scale person. And then the second painting, which will be shared at some point, he said he realized that there are just everyday ordinary people who are creating peace in their lives at this very small scale. And that's what he depicted. I don't even know who all the people are on the top level of the second painting he did. So I want you guys to just contemplate that. I'm looking at this beautiful collage of faces here, and I'm thinking of the collage of the painting, right? And have we all are a part of the picture. And so if we just spend, I know we're only not meeting weekly anymore. So in the next 2 weeks, if you want to join us in 2 weeks, for us to spend that time thinking, what is my part of the picture? You know, what scale do I want to do this work on? And how can I contribute to that part of the picture? So I want to thank you guys all. And that's it. Have a beautiful 2 weeks.
Thanks so much, everyone. You can unmute yourself and say goodbye.
Have a beautiful 2 weeks.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.